Amen. All right, guys, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. By the way, Brother Rabugi, if you guys want to use that 10%, amen, 10%, that's our slogan, all right? So y'all start saying that at other churches, just make sure you send a love offering, all right, guys? Anyways, guys, it's good to see you. It's good to be back here with the saints, amen, and we are just thankful to be here, amen. I'm very thankful for the visitation of good friends from a church up north in Orange, Central Baptist Church. There we got some friends visiting with us, so thank you so much for making the trip down here to Oceanside, and we hope and pray that today we could be a blessing to you from the Word of God, and that you would find friends here with friendliness expressed towards you. Amen. So with that said, guys, well, we're just going to go over some announcements for you here this evening as we get ready for a midweek study, if you will. Just a quick update on how my wife and I are doing. Again, just taking it a day at a time. Every day is new. Today is our two-week anniversary from the crash. On our way to church today, we got a little emotional because it got backed up the Mission Avenue, right? So bumper to bumper, and we're just kind of like, oh. And then the tire tracks are still there, right? And so just kind of here and there, it gets to us. Yesterday, after Brother Mackay from the church next door, he's a youth there, he helped us get a dining table for our kitchen and our house we're renting. And after that, I just had the worst headache. Just, man, like, okay, God, you know, I need you to take this away because it is, or just help me to go to sleep supernaturally. Just do that causing me to sleep kind of a thing. Just don't take my rib out. You know, I just want to pass out. My wife and I have been suffering from insomnia these past 2 weeks. We have not been getting good sleep. But today, by the grace of God, we slept until like 8 o'clock. Amen. We feel good. One more. Tylenol PM in the house. Amen. I'm not endorsing. I'm just saying that that helps out with all of our other organic pain medicine relievers we've been trying to take for the upper shoulder pain, the lower neck pain, et cetera. So, church, if you guys can just keep us in prayer, we're meeting with the district attorney tomorrow. He is prosecuting the case. Unfortunately, the lady who struck us is being charged with a felony DUI. And so he was just giving us all the details. And after that phone conversation, I think that's what started my headache because of the stress and all that stuff. But it was good. He's there on our behalf. He's there to help us. And so when he just asked us, I'll just tell you this. He just said, I like to ask my clients one question. He's like, where are you at emotionally? How do you want me to persecute them? Do you want me to use the books to make their life miserable? Or what do you want to do? And I said, sir, I started getting in tears. I said, sir, we're Christians. I said, we have no maliciousness in our heart. I said, towards the individual. I said, we just want what's fair. We just lost our car. Our emotions are up and down. You know, we're not working. I said, we just want what's just. That's all. We just want what's fair. And he really respected that. You know, he was very moved by that. Because we're not the world. We're not just trying to get money and all that stuff. I want to pray for her salvation, you know, and we want to say that we forgive her. If we ever meet her face-to-face, which we haven't yet, but it appears to me that we will have a court case sometime in August. They're waiting for the blood samples for her alcohol level. Like, guys, this is pretty, I see this stuff on YouTube, and now my wife and I are part of it, you know. I'm like, man. So just keep me in prayer, because that's what's going through my mind. I've been, you know, trying to relieve my wife of all that. I've been handling the logistics for answering phone calls, insurance, this and that. So tomorrow we're going to meet. We've been taking it really slow, though. We've been really relaxing lately. It's been good to just hang out at home. And it's been good that my to see my mom at church. Amen. That's a blessing, too. So the Lord's good there. And I'm just glad to be here tonight. So again, if my emotions are up and down, just know it's good emotions right now. Amen. Last night was bad. This day is good. Amen. So good to see all of you guys here at church. Praise the Lord. So those are the announcements. We're feeling good. I will share with you a good news here. Oh, thank you. This here, guys, is a letter I got from a brother from Texas. His name is Brother Anthony Paredes. I met him at a Bible conference in Corona about a year ago, and we just hit it off. Sometimes you meet friends from other churches, and you felt like you've known them your whole life. You might not agree on everything, but you just know that they're a good friend to you. This brother and I have just kind of bonded on Facebook over the years, and we saw him again with his family visiting from Texas. We went up to Corona, spent some time, and he has a good heart, very charitable. Well, when he heard about our situation, he said, brother, I just want to send you something. And, you know, my wife has been getting contacted by other churches, and we don't ask for nothing. We like to give. We're givers. You guys know that, and it's just between us and God. But I'm like, Katie, just tell him, don't worry about it. But, you know, Amazon gift. Today, we went to go pick up our gifting, and this is a leaf from a 1612 King James Bible. That's pretty cool right there. And so if you guys want to check it out, you guys can come by it later on. And a $100 gift card all the way from Texas, amen. So let's just say we got some free lunch today and some gas for the truck, because it's a V8, right? We're driving our old pickup out there until we get a new car. And so I just want to say thank the Lord for the members of the body of Christ who just have a love for a friend and who are just trying to be there for us from a distance. Our friends from El Cajon, where Brother Josh Stevenson goes, his wife sent us a little Amazon package, some lavender, because brother needs to calm down. Amen. So it's been helping out, and put a little bit of that stuff in the thing there. So anyways, guys, I just want to thank you for those of you who've been praying for us, those who extended a hand to minister to us at this time. And our friends from other churches, even our church we rent from, Brother Val, he's been like a counselor to me. Him and his wife, we've just been casting our burdens upon him for all this stuff and paperwork, and they've been there for us. Brother Mackay, I'm just glad that anybody who loves the Lord is available to be a friend. And so don't ever limit your friendships to just a circle. If they have Christ in their heart, you're going to be with them for eternity. And God can touch a heart here or there, and before you know it, you have a click. And so I'm just thankful for friends. So that's the announcement. That's how we're doing. So just keep in prayer for the energy, if you will, to minister to you guys. I started the Sunday school a little bit this last Sunday, so I'll see how I feel. But we're going to keep taking off, unfortunately, from our outings. We want to do the evangelism outreach. You guys know that we like to go every other Thursday. Unless one of the brothers wants to take the lead, just let me know. You guys know that every other Thursday at the Sunset Market. Saturdays, if you guys want to continue with the apartment, knocking on those apartment doors, as you guys can see, praise God. We did get one visitor from that, so that we have some hope there, amen. But we do need to order more tracks. I already ordered them, and we need to order more door hangers. That's a good problem, so we need to order those. I'll let you guys know how that goes, and then we'll be here for Friday night discipleship class. Study blogs, you guys already know. You guys can check these out. These are just articles that I make to answer Bible questions, help people that email me questions about the Bible, or these are just devotions that I've created just to help you with a visual, if you will. And so feel free to visit that anytime. Those are just to be a vitamin to your diet, if you will. Live stream links, right now we're just doing the podcast. This is Podbean, so that's how you can catch up from our last teachings. If you need prayer, please submit a prayer request anytime. You can do so online or just call me. Say, Brother Carlos, can you pray for me? Yes, I will. I know a good prayer warrior. His name is Boogie. He's right there. Call that guy. He'll pray for you right there for about an hour, and I'll make sure to get to heaven. Amen. But that guy's a good guy, man. Me and Brother Giovanni were blessed that day when he prayed for us, when we were handing out door hangers that day. So thank you for that. And then last but not least, giving opportunities. Again, if you're a member of this church, just remain faithful. Whatever you purpose in your heart, y'all can give anytime online here or in the box back there, or there's a PayPal or a Venmo. Y'all can just scan it. Boom, there you have it. But you guys know we don't pass the hat here, guys. It's whatever you purpose on your heart to say, Lord, here's my financial provision. I thank you for this pastor and this church that's ministering to me. And just know that God promised when you're being faithful and obedient, he'll help you have sufficiency. Look at what it says there, that ye may abound to every good work. So you're not going to be too poor. You're not going to be too rich, but you're going to have sufficiency so you can keep giving. And so Christians usually struggle, even though they trust by faith will be raptured in less than a flicker of the light. They trust that there's a heaven, but for some reason, the wallet, they don't really trust God with. And so I just want to encourage you, keep trusting God. He will help you. Amen. And so I can testify. My wife can tell you. So just between you and God, y'all already know, and we'll trust that you take care of that. Amen. All right, church. With that said, tonight, I think we might be able to finish our part 5 in our series that we've been discussing here. For those of you that are visiting for the first time, usually for the midweek Bible study, we're going through a verse-by-verse study of the Bible, and that is the book of Acts. We are in the last chapter, 28, but we're taking a quick break to finish this study that we have titled Eyes to See and Ears to Hear. And we've been focusing on three main elements, and those three elements are read, hear, and who knows the last one? Anybody out there? Read, hear, and do or obey. How about that? There you have it. So we've been giving you guys a lot of good Bible scripture on reading the Word of God. You guys can find that on our YouTube archive. We kind of build it, if you will, some building blocks on each element. The first one was the command to read the Bible. So we went through a lot of scriptures to show you where God commanded not only Old Testament Israel on the importance of reading the commands, reading the law to rehearse it so they can learn how to live, but even for New Testament Christians, the need to read, if you will, the Word of God. Number two, we showed you from the Bible why it's important for you to hear the Word of God preached to you or hear the Word of God taught to you from someone else. And so those are all in there. The last thing we're focusing on now is the fear of God. to motivate you on the why I need to do what the Bible commands me to do. So tonight, that's what we're going to continue to focus on here on our part five of the fear of God. Do me a favor, make your way to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And as you make your way to 2 Corinthians 7, I'm just going to read you some notes as you make it, and then we'll open up with prayer after we read the verse. 2 Corinthians 7. And praise God, my wife and I ordered this little sponge for her back and her tailbone. This thing is really helping out up here. I got to order me one of these little sponges for this. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Remember, church, what I taught you throughout these past couple of weeks, that I want you to think about your conscience as a compass. And as the compass is responding to all that magnetic stuff, and there's that little arrow trying to point you north, if you will, I want you to imagine that compass as your conscience and that little arrow as the fear of God, if you will, part that God is trying to keep you on that straight and narrow. Every time there is a thought that originates from your heart, every time there's a thought that originates within your mind to do something, whether good or bad, the fear of God is in there, given you by God to keep you to doing that which is pleasing in His sight, or if you will, acceptable. It's there to teach you, don't do this and do that instead. So it's there to guide you, but it doesn't force you to complete the decision. Ultimately, that's your willpower. And so with that rehearsal there, I want us to continue to think about that when we learn that, yes, the Bible does want Christians to fear God or to learn the fear of God, or if you will, to pray more for it, because that's what's going to aid you in your decision-making every time a thought comes to do that which is good, or if you will, when you ignore the compass, you ignore the little arrow pointing in the right way, you ignore it, you do that which is evil, and unfortunately, you're going to give in to a thing called sin. And so with that said, let's read together, and then we'll pray together. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I thank you for good friends coming back to visit us. Lord, what a blessing it is. Lord, I pray that you'd help Brother Mike and Rabugi to get back up there safely, Lord, on their trip. Lord, we do thank you for Miss Catherine visiting us again. That sure is a blessing, God, to know that we can just be a help to her. And thank you for my mom coming back to church, and Felipe and Giovanni. Thank you for the members here. Lord, I need your help, God. I need you to help me to calm my body down with all the nervousness and everything going on in my brain, man. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just help me to be a vessel to once again minister to the saints of the word. May it first affect me, God. Change me, convict me by it. And Lord, I do pray that the members once again have ears to hear and eyes to see what this book says, so it'll continue to change their life. We need more of the fear of God, and I pray that you would help me to live that out as an example. And I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice, church, once again, the Bible says, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Living practically in the fear of God is what helps us perfect holiness and our walk before Him. It seems to me that it's safe to say every Christian still has areas in their life that needs perfecting. It doesn't matter how long a soul has been saved for walking with God. If Paul needed prayer to keep himself humble from everything that he was taught by God, it tells me that he needs maturity in a certain area in his life. Peter, not walking uprightly, being rebuked by him in Galatians 2. It seems to me that if the apostles still had areas in their life that needed perfecting, that is growth or maturing, no doubt, my friend, you and I here today sitting in 2023 need areas in our life where we need to mature and to perfect in an area in. And ultimately, that is holiness in the fear of God. And so notice what I told you from last week, guys, that God is not going to do that for you. Let me repeat that again. Let us cleanse ourselves. And so what did I tell you guys? That God gave you the Holy Spirit if you're saved. He gave you a Holy Bible. He gave you a church, and He wants you to use what He's equipped you with to clean yourself up. And so I'll show you one verse. Just look up to the screen quickly, real quick. 1 John chapter 3. And there's two types of purification that I want you to think about in the back of your mind. Number one, it's the purification that Jesus Christ does within you when you get saved. That's Titus chapter number 2, talking about regeneration, Titus 3. He purify a people unto Himself. Remember that. But number two, that's you perfecting yourself. That is you purifying yourself because of what you've believed on. That is you believing on Him. Look at verse 3, 1 John 3. Every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself as even as he is pure. So I know who Jesus is because the Bible explains to me who he is. I know his heart. I know his mind. I know his character. I know the nature of the Godhead. So all that within the Godhead, the divine nature, 2 Peter 1 says that I can be a partaker of that divine nature. So what I need to do, I need to perfect areas of my life in this. Now we're talking about the fear of God, but notice I need to do that. And so whatever that means for you between you and God, remember I left you last week, you need to do that. You need to take that dirty dish in your life, which could be your body, it could be your mind. You need to take that Holy Spirit power with some scripture, and you need to keep wiping it away. You need to keep cleaning it every time it gets dirty again when you go up into the world and you hear all the profanity and the vulgarity, and perhaps within your own heart there's some things going on. What do, guys, in the end of the day? Clean yourself up again. That's how easy it is. Clothes get dirty, y'all put them in the washer. Clothes get dirty, I take it to the dry cleaners. Somebody is able to apply some agent to get it cleaned again to look like it was prior to it getting dirty. Church, you need to do the same thing every single day or at the end of the week. Just kind of have a little spiritual checklist. Nothing wrong with that. Just feel, man, how much I've been spending time in the Word, prayer, all that stuff. You and I need to continue to perfect that part of us. But notice it's the virtue of the fear of God. And so that's going to help you to keep doing it, all of us. Again, no matter how long we've been saved, this is going to be a lifelong process until the rapture. Remember the warning in Galatians 6 that if any man thinks that he knows as he ought to know, he doesn't know as he ought to know. So I'm never at the place, if you will, that I've reached the all in all. I don't have all the revelation. I don't have all the secrets. Before you know it, one negative thought comes in, and before you know it, I'm already messed up again. I need God to forgive me. I need to keep cleansing myself. So remember, guys, the fear of God is a part of our Christian walk. We need it. We need more of it. All right, guys, let's get back on our Bible train. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're back on the Bible train. These are just going to be some rehearsal verses for you, and then we'll finish up with our new verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21. For all of us born-again Christians, remember that it is our individual duty and responsibility to maintain our fear of God meter. We must continue to make sure that it's healthy and that it's free from anything that will distract us from being filled. The idea that we no longer have to worry about how we live after we get saved or that we'll never give an account for our willful actions even after salvation is false. God wants every saved child to keep learning his word, to walk in his fear, and that's for our good. Remember, we showed you Old Testament verses where God told Israel through Moses, it's for your good concerning the law, if you will. So in application, the commands you read in the Bible on teaching you how to live as a Christian, it's for your good. So remember that, Christian. You might come short of your local church's standards, but strive not to come short of his. Amen. Look with me now in Ephesians 5:21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so again, we're not here to belabor the point, but you guys already know. All right, if you're married, husband is supposed to take the lead. Wife is supposed to be in submission unto the husband as unto the Lord. Why? Because of the fear of God. For those of you who have an employer, that Bible tells you not only to the good, but to the froward. You ought to be in obedience. 1 Peter chapter 3, somewhere in there, chapter 2. So in every role that you and I find ourselves in, we are called to be in submission to another. But notice, what is the motivating virtue? It's the fear of God. Because he's God, that's why. And so we already gave you all the verses from the Old Testament. We gave you, I think it was Jeremiah 4:22 for my notes, when God was talking to Israel about why don't you fear me? And then he just, if you will, kindly reminds them, I made that dirt. Remember that? I made the sea. In other words, who am I? I'm God. That's why I'm giving you these commands. And so with that said, I think the number one thing that will help Christians is why do I need to do this? Because I'm God. And I think if I would have learned earlier with my mom, I probably would have become a lot better than I was. I learned later on, I would just, Mom, why do I need to do that? Because I'm your mom. Wow, that's right. She's my mom. She has the authority. I need to just obey her. So had I learned earlier, I probably would avoid a lot of mistakes later on in life. So that's good to teach your children. Why? Because I'm your dad. Because I'm your mother. I am in authority over you. You need to fear me, if you will. So and we already shared with you the notes that what is fear of God? It's to be in awe of who he is. It's to have reverence for his power as Almighty God, as the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so with that said, submission is easy to maintain when love for God is the reason for it, and submission will continue with love for God. Rebellion comes when you hate God. Remember that Jesus said, a man who loves me, he'll keep my commands, and if he doesn't, then he won't, and he taught in other places about hate and love and all that stuff. The reason God wants the husband to fulfill his intended job description for his Christian wife and vice versa. The reason God wants the members of a local church to fulfill their intended job description toward their pastor and leadership, the reason why he wants Christians to be submissive to their employers, is because of the fear of God. While fulfilling whatever role we find ourselves in today, helping, if you will, we won't sin against God and our spouse and our church and our workplace when we're doing it because of the fear of God. Remember, it tries to instruct you. We read all the Proverbs, all the Psalms. The fear of God is to depart from evil. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It wants to instruct you. It wants to convict you. Remember, like that compass, that arrow, you have to follow its direction. It's not going to force you. Amen. We talked to you last week about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Remember, we talked to you guys about that. We talked about the difference about what God has given us concerning our salvation. Not a spirit of fear, of bondage, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. I give you guys the notes on that as far as the difference. Let's close now with our last notes, guys. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And read with me now, starting in verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then we have a list of individuals who please God by faith. The first one is Abel by faith. I'm not going to read it. I'm just giving you a quick synopsis. Verse number 5, it talks to you about Enoch by faith. And now look at verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now, moving forward in the rest of our study, God wants me to call upon him. He wants me to trust in him. He gave me the Bible to give me the intellectual understanding. He gave me the Holy Spirit to help me with my emotional response to the intellect, the words of Scripture. But he wants me to pursue him willingly, diligently. But in that pursuit, in that response to him, I want you to see one man, his faith was coupled with something else, and that's what we're talking about tonight, and I want us to focus in on that. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want you to see, friend, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that it started with faith first in his God, and then he was moved with fear to obey his God. This is what I was referring to earlier. Faith coupled with fear to what? Maintain good works, or to accomplish the things which our God has commanded us to do. Because Noah revered God. He honored God. He responded to God with what he was worthy of receiving from his life, which is his obedience. He ended up moving forward with everything else that we know he ended up accomplishing for God. So I want you guys to see now, yes, I'm thankful that you trusted Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that you ended up believing in God by faith and you're saved and all that stuff. I'm thankful that you got part one done, right, of reconciliation with you and your maker. But part two, what's going to help you to now obey the one whom you put your trust in, though you've never seen him with your naked eye? It's going to be you moving with fear. It's going to be you responding to the Bible with an awness of God. It's going to be you responding to the Bible with knowing that I need to revere now this God for all that he's explained to me of who he is, that he's the creator, he's God, he's the savior, all that the scriptures revealed to me about. What's going to move me to want to be a faithful husband, a faithful wife, a faithful church member, a faithful employee is fear, knowing that one day I'm going to stand before him, knowing that one day I'm going to give an account before him, knowing that one day I'm going to come face-to-face encounter with the living God and give an account and see him, and he's going to reveal the sincerity and the intent of everything that I've done with him in my heart, friend. I'm just telling you, that's what Paul was referring to back there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and 6 about for this reason or this cause, we warn every man, if you will, when we're preaching because of knowing that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So I just want to show you now, the reason why we should ask God to help us with our fear meter. If you find yourself stubborn lately, if you find yourself questioning lately why I should and shouldn't support my pastor, why I should and shouldn't love my wife, my spouse, do all the things that you are commanded now in whatever role you find yourself, as a parent, as a spouse, single, together, I just want you to see there, it's because of the fear of God. It's because knowing that one day you are going to stand before the Almighty. And when you do, you're going to understand all the completion of not only your existence, if you will, in that very moment that you get to see Him eye to eye, but you're going to see the reason for which He gave you all these things. I think you'll have a perfect, clear understanding that day. But at the same time, for every one of us who continues to stubbornly rebel against what we know we should do and we're commanded to do, but we still don't, we kind of give excuses, you'll also realize, man, I should have in that moment because you weren't moving with fear. You had a faith. You know who He is. I'm not asking you if you don't know the intellectual information of the gospel. I'm just asking, are you living now in response? Are you letting the fear of God teach you now how to live now, to continue living thereafter the fact? So I want you to see here, it starts with faith, but your life in obedience continues because it's coupling with fear. So he revered God, he honored God, he responded to God with what he was worthy of receiving, which is his obedience. So let's keep going, chapter 12, verse number 28. We're back on the Bible train, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. I want you to see that it's all over your New Testament. Holy Spirit is very clear for the Old Testament Israelites, New Testament Christians, that both believers need to respond to the living God with godly fear, with knowing who he is, just respecting him, knowing that he's the Almighty, revering him, showing what is due him, that is respect and homage and honor and loyalty, because he is the creator, he is the savior, he's the redeemer. Everything about he is, it should couple now our faith with fear, because he's worthy. He's worthy of it. Hebrews 12:28, Bible says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Now here it is, with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. So I like how the Bible defines itself there, with reverence. That is the fear of God. You are revering God. You respect him for who he is. And again, though you have not seen him, yes, I agree with you. Sometimes it is difficult to believe in something you can't see. But before you give into that too much, notice when you and I had a relationship with a man or woman at some point, you believed in this thing called love. And though you can't see it, you respond to it. You believe that it exists. You believe there's a mutual, if you will, expression from the other party. You gave them your body. You gave them your time. You invested money. So don't worry too much about what I can't see and if I should continue. I just want to remind you, it is a godly reverence to God when we are expressing the fear of God, or when we are living in the fear of God. It's just knowing that, man, I know who he is. He is the Almighty God. He's the creator. He's the one who laid the foundation to the earth. He's the one who judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the one who laid his life down on the cross. He's all that. So therefore, I should respond to him with reverence. I should respect him. I should revere him. The minute that he says for me to do, I should say, yes, my Lord. Yes, sir, whatever you want me to do. But I'm talking to real believers tonight. If you're honest with me, not all of us do that. We tend to question the Lord. We tend to question him and say, but why, God? I mean, I know you just paused the storm over here on the boat, God. I know you just did all this, God, but you really want me to go out there? You really want me to do this? And that's where we lack the fear of God. I didn't say you lack faith because you know who he is. I'm just saying we lack the fear to move us to do all that he's commanded us to do. So the Bible clearly and plainly defines for us the intent of God for us to walk in the fear, how to exercise it properly. It's in connection to help us what? Look at what it says again. Whereby we may serve God. There it is. So that fear of God meter that Brother Carlos is teaching you, it's to help you to serve God acceptably. There it is. Look at that, verse number 28. So brother and sister, you and I know clearly, we can sit down all the time and teach you guys, here's what it says about husband and wife. We can show you the verses. But you're not going to want to do it if you don't revere God, if you don't fear him. Number two, brother and sister, I can teach you how you should be a great church member, how you should serve your pastor, and how you should be giving, and you should be evangelizing. But if you don't fear God, you're not going to serve him acceptably. In other words, I can show you all the verses. We can go through all the scriptures. I can give you all the doctrinal truths to whatever thing. But if in your heart you do not revere him, that's that you're telling God, and you're telling me, I'm not going to serve him acceptably. And that's not acceptable. Now, you will get by. He ain't going to strike you dead. I've been reading 2 Kings, finished the whole book today. God dealt with people hardcore back in those days. A couple of people in the New Testament, you know, Sapphira and what's the guy's name there in Acts chapter 5? Anybody remember those? The couple? Anyways, when two Christians lied, they got struck. But anyways, he ain't dealing with everybody the same way, what I'm just trying to tell you. So if you know that now, how much more should you respond? So I just wanted to show you that. It's to motivate you to serve him acceptably. So there is a right way and a wrong way. And yes, God will have forbearance. He'll have patience, guys. I'm telling you, I've been reading 2 Kings all day long. He has so much grace and compassion. But when it reaches that point, all right, here comes a judgment. Here comes a spanking from a foreign king. Here comes some lions to literally take you out. So I'm just telling you, Christian, don't continue to excuse serving God acceptably. As soon as he shows you from the Bible how to do that which is right, whatever role you find yourself in, just do it. And just say, God, yes, I'll do it. You're God, I'm not. Hence, I fear you. I revere you. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there now on a Bible train. Next stop. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Bible so good, anybody? All right now. All right. I just want you to see now the connection. Fear mingled with respect, esteem, veneration of God, so we can serve him acceptably. 1 Peter chapter 2 now, my friend. Look with me now, verse number 17. Bible says here. Oh, let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. 1 Peter 2, 15. Bible says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, you guys can just cross-reference Galatians chapter 3 and 5 about that, liberty, but as the servants of God. Now, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. What does he say there in verse number 17? Honor all men. You know what all means in the Greek, brother? All. How about that? So, there you have it. That's the answer. How should I treat those who treat me bad? How should I respond to those who do bad to me? You know what Jesus said? Love your enemies. And I have a difficult time doing that. It's not a matter of me not understanding what that clearly presents to me in my Bible in English. No, it literally says, love your enemies. As I've done unto you, you know, do unto, you know, and so on and so forth. He wants me to honor all men. Galatians 6:10, same thing, very similar. As we have, therefore, opportunity, let us do good unto all men, the Bible says. Why? Because he's God. So notice, when my pride kicks in of why I should or shouldn't to the Christian brother down the street, they may not dress like me, they may not have a tie like me, they may not have a King James Bible like me, I have a Bible that tells me to still honor them. So now I have two things I'm going to argue with. Number one, I'm going to argue with my systematic, I'm going to argue with my convictions, I'm going to argue against the Word of God. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fear God. If I see somebody and there's a mutualness there, I'm going to, hey, how you doing, man? How's it going? How can I help you? I'm going to honor that individual. Number two, love the brotherhood. All born-again Christians, I'm very thankful for. We all don't get along, as you guys can see. That's why we all have different churches. I understand, yes, the Jehovah's Witnesses attack us on that, the Mormons do. But in the end of the day, regardless of the differences and the distinctions, what can you do about it? Don't worry about all the other arguments that you're going to see from different brethren about, you know, these distinctions. I'm just asking you, what can you do to change the view from the unbeliever to say, man, you're a friendly Christian. I just want you to fear God. Love the brotherhood. I just want you to do that. And then it says, honor the king. I'm not a fan of our current president of the United States. I'm not a fan of our current governor of the state of California. That brother's charging me a lot for my gas. But you know what? If I see him, I'm going to say, how you doing, Mr. President? It's good to see you. I'm praying for you, sir. Why? I fear God. So I'm just telling you, the only one you're going to have to argue with now concerning how and to the extent of what, for those of you that have issues with certain people, fear God. The fear of God is going to help you to do it peacefully, and he'll keep your mind in peace. I don't know how the Holy Spirit of God does it, guys, but the Bible says in Romans 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how the Holy Spirit of God keeps me at peace when I obey his word, when I show love to someone who isn't worthy of it, when I do good to someone who isn't worthy of it. All I know is that my God takes care of my heart, and I want you guys to trust him likewise. Now let's keep going. Here it is. I don't have time to read it, but there it is, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Man, when I read that, I said, Lord, why you had to put that in there? Because my custodian boss, man, he was a jerk. He would always mess with me. He'd curse at me. he would not respect me, and I am his employer. But man, I got a God in heaven who says, but I want you to honor him. Oh, man, God, yes, my Lord, I will. And then, praise the Lord's shown favor since. I'm no longer there, amen. I've had the Exodus, amen. But I'm just telling you guys, when you say you're a Bible believer, you really got to ask yourself now, I do this because I fear God. So don't worry about the limitations that you might see in other Christians and to the extent of their character faults. You obey God. You know what he said. You keep doing good. You don't worry about others and where they're coming short. All right, now 1 Peter chapter 3, let's keep going. 1 Peter 3, this is a famous verse. Some of you guys know this by heart. But let's reread it now in the context of our study series. Look with me now, 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 12, and then we'll get to 15. I think a little bit of context will help you out, amen? All right, Bible says now here, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now, I just want you to understand, when you get saved, you got saved, and you're going to be saved forever. But I just want you to understand that in your salvation, in your relationship with God, when Christians continue to do things that are evil and they continue to live in a life of habitual sin, I'm just telling you what the Bible says there. There will be a hindrance of the eyes of the Lord and the ears to your prayer life, especially if you're a husband. You know what it says later on? If we don't show our wives honor, our prayers are hindered. So I'm just telling you guys, just take care of how you live before the Lord. Don't be surprised why the ears are open a little bit more over here and the eyes are set over here. Why? Because they're living right. They're living in the fear of God. If you want great examples, just go through. I'll show you all the Old Testament verses about a man who's upright before God and how his eyes are over that man who's upright. And yet there's this distance between, even though he loves that child, but man, he's out there in the pig pen. The father's at home. You guys remember that Luke 15. So that's for you. We'll talk to you about that later. Look at verse 13. Who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. So now notice, suffering, what, for the gospel, if you're just doing good in the workplace? No, you're living as a righteous man in the workplace. You're living as a righteous woman from people who are treating you ill, and if you will come in against you for everything you stand for, you know what the Holy Spirit said there? But you'll be a happy man for it. But now listen, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. With meekness and fear. Why would God need a couple, two distinct virtues that are complete opposites of one another? Galatians 5 teaches you that one of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness, gentleness. And then, what does he tell you here in 1 Peter 3:15? I want you to respond to people with meekness and fear. I want you to respond to people with respect. I want you to respond to people with some kind of, if you will, respectful, charitable, personal attitude towards them, because he's God. Again, that's the whole idea. Why? Because I'm God, right? Every time that the Lord gave the Old Testament Israelites their command, he would say, do this, for I am the Lord, right? For I am the Lord. He'll constantly say that. And that's what I'm telling you today, Christian. The reason why you need to continue to treat the unbeliever with respect when you're trying to share Christ with them and not, if you will, come at them, you know, hardcore, condemning, if you will, in hypocrisy, is because your God told you right there with meekness and fear. So again, that's going to couple you. That's going to move you now on how you evangelize, on how you talk to people about the Lord, that there should be now that virtue about you. Now, again, I don't care about who do you see on YouTube and who's doing that. You do that. You try to now respond to the scriptures the best that you can, even though you might not see, if you will, the church abroad do it by the book. But I'm just telling you that it is possible. If you say, show me some proof, just go back to the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 22, when Jesus was teaching in the synagogue and the people were amazed at how Christ taught with words that were gracious. I showed Brother Boogie that while we were enjoying a Philly cheesesteak sandwich. Now, do you know what influence Christians lack that inspires their disobedience to the commands of the living God? It is living without the fear of God. It's ignoring the fear of God in their conscience. After really taking that time in studying this matter out, I can safely say, truly, it's the fear of God that is our spiritual compass that points us in the right direction. While the compass itself may be the conscience, the fear of God operates as the pointing part on that, etc. So this is how Christians can become carnal or worldly, or some of you have heard it, backslide. It's when they ignore the fear of God. It's when they choose to ignore that pointer in life that says, but son, you know what to do. But daughter, you know what to do. But I don't care. Because again, whatever that they are striving to do is more appealing. And so we need to pray for those carnal brethren. Amen. Now, before we close, let me give you some of these for your practical before we close. About watching out, hanging out too long, and if you will, with people who live without fear. It's not going to be good for you. Let's go to Jude. Jude 1, and we're going to read in verse number 12. The Bible does give you an explanation about people who live without the fear of God. I gave you the study last week. For those of you who want the notes, you guys can email me and I'll give you the notes. But Romans 3 taught you, right, about how you and I acted before we got saved. We were living without the fear of God. Remember that? Remember how I showed you from the Bible how in your mouth, the Holy Spirit says there's deadly poison. Some of y'all bless God all day, raise your hands, but then next sentence you're talking about a Christian behind their back. You know, you're cursing somebody made after the similitude of God. So remember that. Romans 3, people living without the fear of God, what comes out of their mouth, their heart, all that, you know, dead men's bones, sepulcher stuff. I just want you now to be cognitively conscious and aware about those who you hang out with who live without the fear of God, because it can influence you if you're not mature enough to kind of distance yourself in that area. So I just wanted to show you something. Talking about these unbelievers here, we don't have time to give you all this other stuff. You guys might have a particular point on this, if you will, for you know how people want to interpret. That's not the issue this evening. I just want to talk about the type of person, that's all, the personality of a person who is living without the fear of God. I want you to see here, starting at verse number 4. Bible says, "For there are certain men, crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation." He's not talking about someone who was predestinated to receive condemnation. No, no, no. There is a ordinance, and if a man lives against it, then now is the ordinance says you will be condemned if, you know, such and such. We don't have time to give into that, but nevertheless, just know that. So ungodly men. So now we're talking about what type of men? Ungodly men is our context now, okay? Okay, so what do they do? Well, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, they're going to deny that Jesus Christ was God who died for their sins and rose again the third day. They're going to deny the doctrine of everything the Bible presents for salvation. That's the ungodly man. These are going to be these type of people. And then what are they going to do? Well, they're going to turn something into something that's of a sexual appetite, lasciviousness. It is some type of crazy motion of sin in us where it is moved by some kind of irregular desire, if you will. Just do the research on lasciviousness. So how do they go from denying Jesus to living crazy? We'll keep reading to you. Verse number 5, "I will therefore put your remembrance, though you once knew this, so that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." I want you to understand the context here. Believe not, believe. Believe not, believe. People who don't believe in God, and hence, here we have it. "The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner." So here's what he's doing. The writer here, Jude, he's just warning these believers about the type of ungodly people that are going to come in to, and if you will, they're going to encounter, okay? First of all, he's giving them an example of Jews who disobeyed God thousands of years ago. Second of all, he's giving them an example of rebellious angels in verse number 6. Third of all, he's giving them an example of the people who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at what it says, in like manner. So likewise, the way that they're going to live, now he's going to give you further explanation of people who live without the fear of God. Now listen, giving themselves over to fornication, we know that, sexual misconduct outside of holy matrimony. Going after strange flesh could be homosexuality, if you will. There's your lesbians, there is your pedophilia, everything that is not of the ordination of God, the natural function. And set forth, for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. So he's describing the ungodly person. So, what did he say earlier? Lasciviousness. They are filthy dreamers, and that's in the imaginations of a man's heart. When that desire for some sexual pleasure goes uncontrolled, that's a filthy dream. How about that? So we'll let the Bible define itself later. But notice, they despise dominion. What did First Peter command you to do? Honor the king, did he not? These are not going to do that. So watch out for people who don't live with the fear of God. They are going to despise the maker, and they're going to despise their fellow men, and they're going to despise government. These are those people that you call protesters. Anybody out there last year, 2 years ago, you've seen them all throughout the news media. Unfortunately, these foolish kids and women and men and out there, stupid. It doesn't matter if they're black or white, green or they're all out there. What are they doing? They're rebelling against God. They're rebelling against fellow man, and they're despising authority. And so they're ungodly, and it's manifesting outwardly through their actions and so on. So again, I'm just warning you about these type of people. This is what we're talking about. Listen, they speak evil of dignities. They don't care who they are, what position of authority. You know what Titus chapter 3 commands you to do as a Christian? To speak evil of no man. How about that? The ungodly, they'll speak evil. They don't care because they don't fear God. Remember how the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs, I believe it is, when a man despises the poor, you know, the Bible says you better watch out if the Lord see it, right? He's going to judge you about how you treated that poor man. So I'm just telling you the way that God deals with people, he is serious about his word. And so I should respond with fear of how I talk about people behind their back. I should respond with fear with how I treat fellow men who were made after the similitude. I give you all those notes last Wednesday. So notice, they're speaking evil. They don't care. All right, now, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuked thee. I don't have time to talk about that. Some cool stuff there. But these, again, going back to now, he's just giving you explanations of the ungodly man. These speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, just like an animal, in those things they corrupt themselves. So notice, they weren't born like that. So again, there's Calvinism, if you will. There is Reformed theology out the window. They had an understanding, Romans 1 teaches us, but over time they became corrupt. They corrupted themselves. They were past feeling. I believe it's in Philippians it teaches you that. So what did they do? Well, they're living in fornication. They're living in rebellion against fellow man. They're living against government, rebellion against government. They're living, if you will, with these communications that are evil manner, speaking evil. They're just giving in to what's natural to them. Well, here's a woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. If you want to know what that's about, just go back to Genesis. And ran greedily after the era of Balaam for reward. So there's some financial things that they might be desiring, some deceitfulness of riches, perish in the gainsaying quarry, rebellion. Now look at here, verse number 12. Here's why I'm telling you, Christian, to be careful. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you. It's not a matter of who, but when. At some point in time, you're going to encounter ungodly people. Anybody out there? Some of you might have them as your boss. Some of you might have them as a family member. Now listen, some of your family members, although you love them, trust me, I understand. I got a huge family. I got my mama's side of the family. I got my family in Mexico. Huge, huge numbers. Some of them right now are living, practicing homosexual lesbians, my sisters. I care about them, but I'm just telling you, if they continue to live without the fear of God in rebelling against the scriptures, we know that. I already know what the Bible says about where their outcome is. Same thing if they're going to be drinking it up and how they treat people. All I'm just telling you is this. It's not a matter of who, but when. When will you come into counter with these type of people? I'm just warning you tonight as Brother Carlos, watch out because of the way they live without the fear of God. Notice, feeding themselves, notice what it says, without fear. So they didn't start like that. Romans 1 tells you that clearly. They corrupted themselves, Jude 1, verse number 10. How did you, though, at some point change your life? Because you feared God. You know why you trusted Jesus Christ? It's because you feared God. You understood that if you did not believe that Jesus Christ was God who died for your sins, then you would go to hell. The Bible clearly revealed to you the outcome if you rebelled against what he commands you to do with Jesus. What are you going to do with the gospel? So what did you do that day? You exercised fear. You said, living God in heaven, I sure don't want to go to hell, but I do believe that you did that for me. I know I'm not worthy of your son dying on the cross for me. Obviously, I'm not a perfect person, but what this Christian friend of mine is telling me is just to believe in you, to trust that you did that for me. Lord Jesus, would you save me? Now, however you prayed, I'm just telling you, you did that. It's because you feared God. In other words, even in that split moment of your conscience, you might have had a lot of concrete in there. You might have had a lot of carnality in there. You might have had a lot of worldly fat that kind of, again, you were involved in at the time, whether you were still living in sin as a drunkard, as a murderer, as whatever. For that little moment in time, you know what you did? You were in that feast of charity with that person, with the family, with the friends, but there's something in your heart that responded to that God whom you've never seen and said, man, that might be true. man, that God, he might send me to hell. I sure don't want to go there. And it's in that moment when you expressed humility, you know what the Bible says, with a broken and contrite spirit. You know what he says there in Isaiah chapter 66? To this man will I look, to the one who's going to respond to my word with a broken and contrite spirit, with a broken and contrite heart. So I'm just telling you, that's why you got saved, because you were moved with fear. But these people, notice, they feed themselves without fear. They could care less about what the Bible says. They don't care about judgment. They don't care about nobody else, what they look like, what they don't look like. It's all about me, myself, and I. Now, we know Satan's working in the background, unfortunately, but I just want you to know, friend, you weren't there too long ago. So that's why, yes, we pray, we have grace. When I go to Mexico, I spend time, but as soon as it comes down to that alcohol coming out, as soon as it comes down to the drugs popping out again, Brother Carlos says, okay, boom, we're up on out of there. Why? Because I fear God. And I need to show them as an example, here's what it looks like to live in fear to the living God. Now, it says here, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever, and so on and so forth. So again, I don't have time to give into all the prophecy stuff. I just want you to focus on the type of person, people feeding themselves without fear. I just want you to be careful, friend, when associating yourself with people who lack the fear of God. It will influence you whether you realize it or not. Their ideas, their thoughts, their manner of living will influence you. It's only natural for us as social beings to want to fit in. I don't know about you, friend, but I want to feel accepted. I don't like feeling rejected. When I hang out with family or friends, guys, I know I'm a human. I want to feel like I'm a part of the party. You know, I want to feel like I'm not standing out. I get it. But I just want to remind you now, as a Christian, you will never be outside of the heavenly party. The Bible says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone. It's just the body man in you just trying to tell you, but you want that acceptance. Remember, we talked about that, trying to be accepted within man. The fear of man is a snare, remember the Bible says. So don't worry. Don't worry about fitting in. And if you're not mature enough or strong enough, independent of your church fellowship when interacting with these kind of people, I'm just telling you, you might cave in. I'm not saying all will, but generally we all have a tendency to do so. So just be careful, friend, with how much time you spend with those who live without the fear of God. Last verse, and then we'll come to close in prayer. Revelation 19:5. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 5. I'm glad that when I get to heaven, I'm going to be singing for sure. I'm going to be thanking God for sure. But man, I'm just going to fear him. I'm going to live in an everlasting body, free from sin, still bowing down in awe of who he is. You guys can read Revelation on your own time, but when you see Christians up there in glory, you know what? They are bowing down in worship to this God. You know what those heavenly creatures are doing right now? Every day, bowing down. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who which is and which, you know, all that. It's because he's God. So again, you might not see it now of why you need to obey him, or you might not fully comprehend intellectually. You might even feel it. But I just want to share with you, this is why, because he's God. So now read this with me and we'll come to close. Look here in verse number 1. The Bible says, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, had avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So there it is. Fear, those of you who are in awe of him, those of you who venerate him, those of you who respect him, those of you who understand that he's God and you're not, those of you who understand that he is the maker, he is the judge of all the earth, he is the almighty God, he's the one who laid the foundations to all things that exist, upholding all things by the word of his power. All you that fear him, you know what you're going to do that day? You're going to praise him. So I just want to share with you now, so until we get there to this heavenly scene, because we will, if you trust Jesus, you'll get there. Why don't you start doing that now? Why don't you start bowing down on your knees a little bit more and saying, God, you're holy. I'm not. God, I know that I keep coming short sometimes. Father, you know my desires sometimes are in the right place. But like Paul said in Romans 7, I battle. I want to do right. I do evil. But God, today, would you just forgive me one more day? When you wake up, guys, just remember, say, Lord, forgive me. Yep. Bible says it's the blood of Jesus. Amen. It'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. When you confess, he'll forgive you. But I'm just telling you, you need to maintain that relationship upright with God by fearing him. By in your heart, in that altar of your heart, I'd like to tell you, we might not have an altar here, but guys, you have the greatest altar. It's right here in your heart. When you approach him in the throne of grace, right, in the imagination of your heart in prayer, just go back to him and say, God, man, I fear you, God. You're almighty. You're powerful. I'm so sorry that I have not been living a life that has been reflecting that to you lately, Lord. But Lord, would you help me start today to be ready for that in the future? Because one day I know I'm going to be up there with the heavenly host, with the angelic creatures that are up there, some stuff that I don't even know. Bible doesn't tell us. But guys, we're going to see him on the throne. And every time you just look his direction, you know what you're going to do. You're going to bow down and say, holy, holy, holy. That's God Almighty right there. I fear that God who offered me redemption, who offered me salvation. Oh, great God, you're worthy of it. So let's start working on that now. So in conclusion, I hope this lessons and these lessons have provided you enough reason for the necessity of reading the Bible daily in order to learn more about him and to learn from him, to keep your heart in love with him and maintain your fellowship with him while you're still on this earth. I hope I was able to be a help for you to better understand why we need to walk before our God in the fear of God as an internal spiritual mechanism, if you will, that helps us and reminds us of what and how God thinks about the motive of our choices, and as we ponder our thoughts before it turns into an action. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the saints that came here to church this evening to hear the word of God. Father, I just hope and pray that tonight you would please continue to teach all of us as children. I know, Lord, you love us all dearly. I know, God, that in Christ we have an unconditional love. Father, you're going to take us home. But I know, God, that while we're still on this earth and this body that we fight, this inner man, this battle between the old man and the new man, God, I know that we still wrestle with reasoning within ourselves why we should do what the Bible commands us to do, why the husband should do this and the wife should do that, and why the church member should do that, or when we go back to work, why we should. But God, I hope that I give them enough Bible for them to hear from you because you're God, because the fear of God, because it instructs them on how to find peace from you and how to receive peace from you when they're obeying you. So Lord God, help us all this evening to go back, whether to our home churches, families, friends, workplace, with a better spirit, a better attitude tomorrow, in our marriages, the way we treat our members of the church house, or in the fear of God. Help us to submit one to another in the fear of God. Help us to love because the fear of God. And ultimately, help us to serve you acceptably. So Father, I love you. I thank you. And Lord, I just want to say thank you for saving my soul, Lord. I look forward to bowing down before you in heaven. Help me to bow down even more right now until I get there. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. Church, I love you dearly. Guys, if you guys want a fellowship, please hang out a little bit. More than welcome to you. And with that said, guys, we'll just be here for you for a little end time fellowship. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for coming tonight.